Genesis 15 and also Deuteronomy 7 is our foundational scripture for this final sermon on what are you doing? What is keeping you from your destiny in Christ? What are the things that are happening in your life that's keeping you from the destiny that Christ has for you? So this is the final sermon in this series. And our foundational scriptures are Genesis 15. And I'm just going to read this real quick. Genesis 15, we're going to start with verse 6. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. And then the Lord told him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur, out of the Chaldeans, to give you this land as your possession. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it? And the Lord told him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And so Abram presented all these things to him, and he killed them. And then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. And some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. And as the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After four generations, your descendants will return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction. And after the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking firepot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land now occupied by the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Raphaites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So in this section of scripture, this is our foundational scripture, because this is where God himself is cutting a covenant with Abraham and foretelling events that are going to take place about concerning his descendants. And so he cuts a covenant with Abraham, and he said, this is what's going to happen. Your people, your descendants, my people, the Jewish people, are going to be brought forth into slavery. They're going to be in slavery for 400 years. But after a season of time, I'm going to bring them out with a mighty hand of deliverance, and I am going to bring them back into this land. These are the enemies that will assault them as they get ready to go into the land. They are going to depossess these nations, and once again, I'm going to bring them back into the land. So Deuteronomy 7, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you're about to enter and occupy, he will clear away many nations ahead of you. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Havites, and the Jebusites. These seven nations are greater and more numerous than you. And when the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them, you must completely destroy them. Make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. You must not intermarry with them. Do not let your daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters, for they will lead your children away from me to worship other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and he will quickly destroy you. This is what you must do. You must break down their pagan altars and shatter their sacred pillars, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on the earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his special treasure. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you, and he was keeping the oath that he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. But he does not hesitate to punish and destroy those who reject him. Therefore, you must obey all of these commandments, decrees, and regulations that I am giving you today. So, when they were, the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, the Lord was fulfilling his promise to Abraham, and he sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. They had been in slavery there for 400 years. There were 10 nations that they were going to have to encounter in the wilderness before they went into their promised land. So they traveled through the wilderness. We know that one complete generation died because of their grumbling and their murmuring and their complaining against God. They were always railing against God. They had so much of Egypt in them that when God brought them out, they, no matter what testings or trials that they went through in the wilderness, Egypt couldn't come out of them. They refused to let go of their idols. They refused to let go. And that's symbolic for today. We can apply that today. Christ has delivered us, absolutely delivered us from every sinful, ungodly thing. And we are not a people of this world. We are a people of the eternal kingdom. And so we're to love our God with all of our heart, our strength, and our mind. And God understands that when we first come out of Egypt, a type of sin, when we first come out of sin and we accept Christ as our Savior and we receive Christ as our Lord, that there are still some things in us that need to die. How many know that? There are still some things that need to go by the wayside. Sometimes there's just immediate deliverance where things are broken off of your life, addictions are broken off your life, strongholds are broken off your life. You receive Christ as your Savior, and when you hit that altar or wherever it was that you received Jesus as your Savior, he broke some things off of your life. But then there were some mental things. There were some mind things. There were some strongholds of the mind, patterns and familiar things that you kept in your mind that need to be gone. They need to go. They need to be defeated. They're like those enemies. They're like these 10 nations. There's thoughts. There's processes of the mind that need to go. There's actions and behaviors that need to change. There are different types of enemies in all of our life that try to come against us as we continue to further our relationship with Jesus Christ. And in this series, we've been studying that each of these names represented an enemy that Israel was going to have to face that needed to be dealt with. And we have associated these names with certain actions, certain behaviors, certain thought processes, certain patterns that will at times keep us from being able to move into the destiny to which God has called us. Each one of us are called to fulfill a specific purpose. Number one, you're called to be in the image and the likeness of your God. You're called to represent him in the earth. You're called to be his witnesses in the earth. You're called to be his ambassadors. What is his kingdom like? How are people going to see what his kingdom like? How are they going to see what God is like? It has to be through his people. He didn't just put us here or allow us to be born for no reason. In fact, those who come to Christ, he deposited the very seed of God inside of us through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit are the sons and the daughters of God. The Spirit of God has certain attributes. Not only does it have the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of tongues, the gift of revelations, the gift of dreams and visions and prophecies, all of these parts that God has put in his people to be able to be a representation of Christ and to be able to fully complete the body for the equipping and the preparing of the body for the witnessing of what Christ Jesus is like in the earth. But he's also put his character and his attributes in us through the fruit of the Spirit. Our God is a God of justice. Our God is a God of wonders. Our God is a God of selflessness. Our God has great control. over himself. He has the ability to do all things, but he never does anything out of a vindictive spirit or out of a wrong motive or out of a wrong heart. He's pure. He's holy. He's righteous. He's faithful. He's a good God. So he deposited his attributes in us. Those are the character of our God lives inside of us through the Holy Spirit. And then not only did he deposit his character in us, he deposited gifts in us. There's three categories of gifts through the Holy Spirit. There's the revelatory gifts, the power gifts, and the speaking gifts. And all of these were meant to equip the body of Christ. They were meant to be what empowers them and enables them to be the witnesses of Christ throughout the earth. So he gave us everything that we need to do what we've got to do. But there are sometimes things in our life that still hinder us. The reason I'm doing this series is because there are things in people's life that cause them to not be able to move into their destiny. That are things that they are not facing or they're running away with or they're not dealing with them or maybe they don't even recognize them. And each one of these enemies of Israel represents something in that person's life that may be preventing them from moving forward. We have two to finish today. So we're going to finish those up and we're going to just do an overview of it right at the end. In Joshua 1 and 5, it says, "No one will be able to stand against you." This is another generation rising up, getting ready to take possession of the promised land. Standing on the threshold of the promised land, Joshua realized there were seven nations, actually 10, when you go back to Abraham and also to Deuteronomy, and 40 kings to be conquered before he could possess it. So God told him, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." When you're in God's will, the forces and resources of heaven are behind you, and that means you ultimately win. It doesn't mean that you won't have to fight. It just simply means that God is with you, and if you'll cooperate with God, you'll win. How many like to win? I do too. So let's dive into these final two. Last week we finished up with the Canaanite spirit, which was a spirit of pride. And there were a couple things I wanted to just add to that because I didn't get to it. 1 Timothy 3 and 6 in the Amplified Bible says that we must be careful about not putting new converts into positions because they may develop a beclouded spirit, a state of mind, and then result in pride, be blinded by conceit, and fall into the condemnation that the devil once did. So issues about pride are really important because promotion too early without the character of God causes us to bring shame to ourselves, to others, and to God. And I want to just say that process is extremely important. We often want to avoid process because usually when we search our heart, when we get still before the Lord and we ask him to reveal anything in our heart, and that includes motives, that's a pretty raw feeling. It's not even that God doesn't know what's in your heart. It's that the revealing of it to ourself causes us to have that feeling of, oh, I didn't even realize that that was in there until God just revealed it to us. Each one of these giants that they faced caused them to have to look inside of themselves and say, what is keeping me from moving into the promised land? What is that giant or what is that that's causing me to stay where I am or to not face the situation and to prevent me from moving into the purposes of God's heart? And the Canaanite spirit was a spirit of wanting to hurry up and just do what they wanted to do. God told me to do this and I'm going to go do it. I'll never forget listening to Joyce Myers, and I remember I was called into a ministry when I was here at Glad Tidings many years ago. This was my home church. And so I'll never forget being out there and hearing the voice of the Lord and feeling that feeling inside that God was calling me. He was calling me to minister. He was calling me to do something greater than where I was. And I knew that that meant I was going to have to face some things in my life. Well, I just felt called. I just felt, wow, God's chosen me. He's picked me. I'm going to go on out and tomorrow's going to be great. And I'm just going to be like Joyce Myers or be like some of these great ministers that we see on television. And I'm just going to go out and I'm just going to do it. Yeah. And I was all fired up. Yeah, how many ever feel that way? You're just going to rush on out and get it done. You're just, yeah. And that's my personality, too. I'm kind of like a go-getter. You know, something needs done, we're going to do it. We're going to face it. We're going to do whatever we have to do. 8 years later, people, and the journey has been long. It's actually even been longer than that because there was a long season where God had called me, and yet He was going to do a lot of things in my life to prepare me for the call. Don't despise process, because process is essential. God loves you so much that He is not willing to allow you to rush on out and put yourself out there in front of people without Him developing character, without Him developing intimacy in you with God and a love for God that keeps you when people start criticizing you or they begin to say things about the ministry or say things about what, you know, there's no area where people won't begin to assault or attack, whether that be your physical appearance, whether that be, you know, the way that you minister, or you're too loud or you're not loud enough or you're too this and you're not that. And no matter what it is, God has to prepare you. God has to stabilize you in the love of God. He has to stabilize you in Himself so that when you have people who do criticize or people who do say things or about the ministry or about what you're saying, you'll be able to stand strong. You're going to be okay because you have a foundation in Christ Jesus. And you can hear that just through the scriptures that I read. The loving of the Lord God and Him loving us stabilizes us. And then we're able to face any adversity that we come through. Each giant was going to be something that they were going to have to deal with. And so pride is a deceitful. It's what got the devil thrown out of heaven. He tried to exalt himself above the knowledge of God, and he was quickly brought down low. So it's very important that we recognize in our heart any spirit of pride, because pride will keep us from being able to move forward. And then God's going to have to deal with us about pride. And He's going to have to deal with us about the way that we are thinking. Knowledge puffs up. Anytime you get a person, and I'm all about education, I'm all about learning, and I'm all about that. But sometimes we can take that knowledge, and instead of using it for good, we can just begin to make ourselves feel good. You know, I have a master's and a doctorate and this and that. And there's nothing wrong with that until it becomes something that you would use to overpower other people or to or look down on them and to make them feel small while you're so elevated. Pride can be recognized just by that puffed up feeling or that feeling of superiority. I'm greater, I'm better than you. And it has to be dealt with. The Lord is going to deal with it. So that's one of the giants that we face. The next giant we face is a Girgashite. And that is a feeling like a stranger everywhere you go. You don't go to church, or if you attend one, you only do that for a period of time because you feel like you don't fit in. So you quit. That feeling of I don't fit in no matter where I go. The enemy uses that to make you feel less than, like you don't belong, like you're not good enough, like you, no matter what place you go, you're not, you know, I don't fit in at this church and I don't fit in at that church and I'm not the right fit for any of them. And that feeling is a feeling of the enemy that tries to get you. You just feel like a stranger everywhere you go. It's a feeling of lack of relationship. It may be caused by insecurity because of things that have happened in your life. No matter where that is coming from, one thing for sure is it stunts your growth. Because whenever we don't go to church, it's the same thing. I see this a lot. People will say, well, I don't fit in at that church, and I don't fit in at that church. And next thing you know, they go from church to church to church. But here's the key to this. It's so important. It's so important that we fit in somewhere. You may not it may not be everything that you want it to be, but it will be. If God's called you there and He's put you there, then you have a place there. And you don't want to keep uprooting yourself, though there are seasons in your life when you will have to do that. I'll never forget being at a place where God had called me to a church. He had given me a dream, and I had went in this to the church that He had told me to. He had told me, I want you to go here. And so I left where I was and ended up going. So sometimes God does take you to other places because there's lessons that you're going to learn there that maybe you couldn't have learned where you were, or you were refusing to learn where you were, which is probably more in my case. So I went to the next church that God had sent me to. And I'll never forget, just, you know, it was great. I mean, we were just having an awesome time. And then one day in particular, while we were at service, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I just began to prophesy. And when I prophesied, some of it was pretty strong. And I was like, whoa, this is a really strong prophetic word. It was a prophetic word. And it dealt with some things concerning the church. Well, immediately, because I did not know protocol. Every church has a protocol. Every church has different things that they do and they don't do, and different ways that they do it and other ways that they don't do it. And so I didn't know protocol particularly in this church. So they, you know, did not like me prophesying. I was supposed to go through leadership, and I was supposed to go through the pastor, and that's okay. That's all right. There were just certain ways that they needed it to be done. But I didn't do that. And because I didn't do that, that started the beginning of a long season of learning from God to come under authority, to respect and honor the protocol of the church, the pastor of the church. It was a long journey for me. And the Lord didn't waste any time. But I'm going to tell you, those are some of the things that you face. Those are some giants in my life that I had to face when I went through this season. I was there for a long time. In fact, I wanted to leave, which is a pattern, another escape, another giant that we have to face sometimes when God tells us to stay, but we want to go. If He tells you to stay when you want to go, then there's things that you need to learn that God's telling you about. There's something that God wants you to do, a self-examination on the inside. So I ended up staying because the Lord was heavy on me. And I felt that He flat out would not let me leave. And this is where I learned, in this place, I learned forgiveness, because it was hard to forgive, because I was being corrected. It was hard to stay when I wanted to leave. And I had to learn forgiveness there. I had to learn to love people who corrected me. I had to learn to respect authority there. I had to learn to realize that just because I saw it one way and they saw it another way didn't mean that I was to dishonor the people. There were lots of things that I was learning at that place. And had I not stayed, I would have ran away from that only to go to the very next place to go through it all again, because God is a God of process. And you cannot skip one level. You can't go from kindergarten to 12th grade. Right. He's a God of process. And you can't have a car until you're of age. There is processes. We know that. My little granddaughter's here with me. She can't crawl, but she's trying to crawl. Just the process of crawling for her is so frustrating. She gets her up on her little knees, and she gets up and she moves forward, and they'll put a toy right in front of her, and she wants that toy so bad. That's how it is with prophecy. You hear in your heart the word of the Lord, and you are just leaping and jumping inside. You think tomorrow that prophecy is going to come to pass. But it doesn't, because there's process involved. The dream was given because the Lord wants you to accomplish His heart and His dream and to bring forth His desires in the earth as a representation of who He is. But there's a process that has to be taken. But the dream is important because it's God's dream and it's God's heart deposited in His people. So He puts that inside of a person, and just like a toy brought out in front of a child, now she's trying to get to that toy. And in the process, guess what? She's working her back legs, and she's learning how to get up on her knees, and she's learning how to put one hand forward. And sometimes she falls down, and sometimes she gets tired, and sometimes, but she keeps scooting along. And sometimes, guess what? That's how it is. You're just scooting along. Eventually, she gets to the place and her little fingers start touching the tip of that toy, and she gets all excited and she's like, I'm almost there. Woo! That's how it is with us. A dream comes to pass with much business and painful effort, but if you leave every time it gets hard, and you abandon ship every time it gets difficult, then you don't mature and you stunt your growth and you prevent yourself from being able to move into the promises of the Lord. The Girgashite spirit is a feeling like I'm a stranger. I'm just going to uproot here and go somewhere else. And then you uproot yourself there and you go somewhere else. And you never face the real reality is that it's inside. It's internal. Stay. Submit. Come under the authority that is there. Learn the lessons that you need to learn. Another perfect example is when I went to ordination school. I was in school, and I was up there in our class. And in our class, we had a teacher who was very strong. He was just a really strong, kind of an authoritarian type teacher. And he was kind of monotone. So his voice was like this all the time, and you just had to really pay attention, and it was just constantly like that. We're all different, right? God made us all different. And I left there, and I was like, oh, this class and this teacher, and oh, it's just wearing me out. And the Lord spoke to me. He heard my grumbling and my complaining. And He said to me, on every field, there is something to glean. Even if the field is barren, why is it barren? Learn. Learn from everything. Be willing to receive the lessons from God. Be willing to appreciate people that are depositing into you, even though you may not like the sound of their voice, or you may not like this, or you may not like that. Receive. Learn. And so that's one of the things that I got from my class. On every field, there's something to glean. Now, no matter what the circumstance is, I try to find the lessons. What are the lessons? What is God teaching me? What is God saying about this circumstance and situation? The scripture says in Hebrews 10 and 25, let us not neglect the meeting together as some have made the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. So encourage one another, attend meetings, attend church services, get all of God that you can and receive. Don't keep removing yourself from difficult situations. Don't keep removing yourself from things that are going to help you grow. Stay with it. Stay with it. That's one of the giants that you're going to have to face, is being faithful, staying with something long enough to learn what you need to learn and receive what you need to receive from God. God does not waste anything. He doesn't waste anything. He's a God that uses everything to teach us something, and it's important that we learn it. The next one and the final one, number 10, is the Jebusite spirit. These are tactics that the enemies use. We're calling them a spirit, but they're actually the same spirit the enemy uses. A downtrodden spirit, an oppressed spirit. In other words, you always feel like a victim. You're a victim mentality. You have a victim mentality. It's not my fault. It's not anything in me that's causing this. It's somebody else's fault. It's the person over here that did this, and it's the person over there that's kept me from moving forward. I can't move forward because of this person, and I can't move forward because of this situation, and I can't move forward because I don't have enough money, and I can't move forward because, and there's, it's just this, everybody's to blame except yourself and taking responsibility. It's a victim mentality, wrong thinking, presumptions. How many know what it's like to presume something and then only to find out that it was a lie? That your assumptions were not true, that your presumptions were wrong, that you were wrong in your thinking and in your thought processes. That's why the Bible says be renewed in your mind. Renewed in your mind. The danger of repeating patterns that were bad in the past, trust me, if they're bad in the past, they're going to be bad in the future. You can't just move to a different place and then do the same things that were bringing you into that place. If you don't change it here by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, you're just going to repeat the same thing over and over again. How does that change? You deal with it. You take it before the Lord. You recognize it. You confess it. Repeating those same patterns, we go back to things that are familiar. How many believe that? We go back to what's comfortable. God tells us, come on, I'm bringing you into this land. It's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be a land where I'm going to bless you and I'm going to promote you. Whether it be, okay, I want to go back to school or I want to go to ministry school or I want to start this ministry or I feel called to do this or do that. It always starts with God dropping a seed into your spirit. And then that's when it happens. That's when you're going to face the enemy. That's when he's going to come against you. You begin to move towards the direction, just like I gave an example of earlier, and the enemy is going to try to come against you. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be hindrances. One of those is your thinking. The mind has to be renewed. You can't go back to old thought processes, negative thought processes. You can't go back to your past. If it was bad in your past, it's going to be bad in your future. If it didn't help you to advance and move forward, it's going to hold you captive. And you're going to stay where you are, or you're going to repeat the mistakes that you made in your past. But on the flip side of that, if it's good thinking, it'll move you forward. You'll be willing to face the obstacles. You'll be willing to face whatever situations come your way. And you'll be able to move forward with Christ and be able to see the promises of God come to pass. Victim mentality, where we blame others for our lack of success. So typical, right? In the garden, we can go back to Genesis. When God said, who told you that if you eat this fruit, you will die? And Eve said, the serpent deceived me. And Adam came along and he said, this woman that you gave me, God. I mean, he's blaming God for giving her the woman and saying, you know, hey, it's this woman, God, that you decided to give me. She's it. And then, you know, so Eve blames the serpent and Adam blames God and blames the woman. And it's the blaming that keeps us sometimes in a place of not facing truth. I would hear Joyce Myers repeat on a common thing. She would say, the truth will set you free, but it's not the truth about somebody else. It's the truth about me. And sometimes we have to face the truth about us. And that's where true freedom is going to come from. We can also have a flip side of that. We can feel like that we can never do anything right. Instead of blaming other people, we keep looking internal and saying, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't do this right. I don't do that right. We make all the excuses in the world as to why we can't do the will of God, and it has everything to do with our insufficiencies. When we measure ourselves, we are inadequate. That's how we feel. When we measure our knowledge of the Word, we're inadequate. When we measure things in our life, we look at our life and we say, I can't do it because of this, or I can't do it because I'm too young. Timothy was like, I'm too young. I can't do the ministry. And Paul's like, you know, don't let anybody discourage you because you're young. You know, so there's all these things. Moses said, I can't deliver these people out of Egypt. I stutter. I don't talk right. You know, so we always have sometimes the hindrances. That's always been a really difficult for me to overcome, is measuring yourself and feeling inadequate, not feeling that you're capable. That is really a form of idolatry, because you're looking at yourself instead of looking at God, who promised that He would be with you, He would send the pillar of cloud before you, He would give you the ability through the Holy Spirit so that you can do all things. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so when God's called you to do something, that means He's equipped you through the Holy Spirit with the ability to be able to accomplish it. So we have to be careful that we don't talk ourselves out of the promises of God. The Bible says that by their murmuring and complaining against God and against Moses, that that a whole generation died in the wilderness, not obtaining the promises that God had already prepared for them. His intention when He brought them out of Egypt was to cause them to come to Him, for Him to worship, and then to bring them into the promises that He had given Abraham. He had made a covenant with Abraham, and He was not going to back down on it. So that same covenant that we have through Christ Jesus, the covenant of Christ that says, I am going to deposit myself inside of you, and then everything that I call you to do, I've equipped you to do, I'm going to train you to do, I'm going to bring you through process, and then at the time when I know it's right, I'm going to release you into the promises of God. And everything that I said is going to come to pass just the way that I said it. We don't want anything to keep us from fulfilling the destiny that God has called us to. Why is it important? It's important because it's God's heart. Whatever is Father's heart, whatever that He has desired for us to do in the earth, to be a representation of who He is important. It's important for that very reason. We need to get in agreement with God and let all the things that He has promised and spoken over our life come to pass and be fulfilled. So they finally get to the edge. A whole generation has died. Another generation has risen up. And they've had to be circumcised. They've had to come to that place. We're getting ready to cross over the Jordan. And now they're getting ready to enter the promised land. They're going to encounter all of these things that the Lord told them that they were going to encounter. All of these nations that they were going to have to rise up against. There are a few things I just want us to remember as we get ready to cooperate with God and move into what He has called us to. It's more about reaching people and regions and territory than we really realize. We think it's about us when He first calls us, but the reality is He prepares us for the ministry or for the purpose to which He created us. So the first thing that we need to remember is the enemy does not want you to expand your territory. He doesn't want to expand you. He doesn't want you to go any further. If He knows how many know that He has fought you every step of the way. He's fought you to understand Him. He's fought you to understand God. He's fought you from being able to do the will and the purposes of God's heart. He's not going to roll out a red carpet and say, come on, the enemy's not going to do that. Come on, let's just go. And here's the red carpet, and I won't give you any problems. This is warfare. He is going to fight us. The enemy does not want us to expand God's kingdom. He does not want us to be representations of God on the earth. He wants to keep us broken. He wants to keep us in a state where we can't function. He wants to keep us thinking about ourselves all the time. He doesn't want us to increase and enlarge. I remember when I first started Glad Tidings, and as we've expanded through the years, one thing we did is we decided we were going to do Facebook. Well, we get on Facebook, and the devils on Facebook are a lot meaner sometimes than the ones that you encounter other places. And so now I got people on Facebook saying, you know, I don't like it that you wear pants, and I don't like it that you, you said this, or I don't like it about that, and your church is fake, And so now the most beautiful thing about Facebook is this: there's a button, and you can push ban and delete. It's glorious. It's kind of like God in the end when He judges all hearts. And the final decision is made. There is a place for the righteous, and there are a place for those who reject Christ Jesus. Okay? But then we expand even further to radio, and we go further. It's all about territory, and sometimes He does not want the expansion of the gospel. He is going to hinder you every step of the way. Personally, as a church, every time you step out and do something for God, you're going to face opposition. You're going to face people that will reject you. You're going to have to press through that. That's all a part of learning to be in Christ and learning to trust. I don't think I would have trusted God if I wouldn't have went through these oppositions. When I first started pastoring here, we had people that say, I cannot come and listen to you. You are a female. And I'm like, yes, I know. It doesn't change the fact that God says there's neither now male or female. And I see a whole host of women bringing forth the gospel. God is just looking for people. He's looking for people that will receive Him and love Him and let the gospel go forth. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. What matters is that you're His and that you love Him and that you're called by His name. So I can see the progression that every time I stepped out to be a pastor, oh, you're not a good pastor. You're a female and you're this and you're that. I'll have to overcome that, giant. And then the next one is an expansion onto Facebook. Oh, there's people out there, they're just mean. They'll say things that are mean, and they'll say things hurtful, and they're cruel. And you can delete that. But then there's things when you have to encounter a person face to face. There are people that you have to encounter face to face. The Lord showed me one time how He showed me a tank, and in that tank, it was like an aquarium, and in this tank there were leaves, and it was like a little jungle thing, and there was a snake in there. And He said, this is Facebook. This is what that's like. You can look at the pictures. You can look inside of it. You can see it. It's on here, and you can see everything about everybody on there. And if you don't like it, you can delete it. You can ban it. You can do this. But the next scene He showed me was the snake was out of the aquarium, and it bit me. And he was showing me that on Facebook you can delete it, but sometimes you're going to encounter people, and that's going to be another level, another giant you're going to have to overcome. What do you do when they're standing there in your face? How do you respond at that time? How do you deal with that? That's another place. That's where your relationship with God had better be solid, because you may say something or do something that would dishonor God and bring shame to Him. That's where the fruit of the Holy Spirit needs to be kicked in. And sometimes you might have to just walk away from that situation. And sometimes it depends on how the Holy Spirit is leading you to deal with it. That's why it's so important to lean and rely on the Holy Spirit. Then we get up and we go to another phase. We go to radio, and then you're dealing with another situation on radio. So every time the Lord is bringing you progressively into the purposes to which He created you, and every time He does that, there are different levels and different giants and different things that you're going to have to face. And He's doing that to sharpen you, to help you, to know how to respond out of the Spirit and out of the Word so that you will be a representation of Him on the earth and His kingdom will be expanded. How could they have received the promises of God without facing these giants? How could they have done the will of God and seen it come to pass without dealing with these issues? It was necessary. So sometimes it's all about the enemy opposing you because he doesn't want the territory to be increased. He doesn't want the gospel to go forth. He doesn't want you to grow. And he doesn't want anybody's life to be affected by your life. Number one. Number two is he tries to bring fear and intimidation. The attacks were meant to stop your progress. If you become fearful, if you become afraid, if you begin to draw back, it's all intentional. It's meant to stop you. Number three is when you are getting ready to move into new territory, the enemy knows that he is, and he's going to assault you. The devil is not so much interested. Sometimes it's a twofold. He wants to destroy you because he knows what you're going to do. He knows that you're going to come into a relationship with God, that God didn't put you on this earth for no reason and for no purpose. And sometimes he knows before we realize it. That's why so many attacks that's why abortion is so wrong, is because you stop the destiny of the person before it ever gets started. Do you know how many great men and women of God were either assaulted in the womb or within those young ages between birth and maybe 10 or 12, and somebody molested them or somebody raped them or there was a family split that caused a wound. And do you know how much of that stops and prevents people from moving forward? So it stops them because they focus on the wound or they focused on the situation that they're dealing with, right? And now they can't move forward because it's hindering them. I just think about some of the great men and women of God and find out their stories and listen to them. They all had issues. A.A. Allen was raised by moonshiners. He was drinking liquor out of his bottle when he was a baby. His parents were not saved. He was smoking cigarettes. He heard about a woman preacher in town, and he said, I'm going to go down there and find out. He came in the building, and they said, that wicked Allen boy's here. And that woman preacher just looked at him. She goes, are you here to hear the gospel, or are you going to cause trouble? He goes, well, I come to see what it was about. And he got saved. Had one of the largest healing tent revivals that there ever was. And you have all these great, go back and look at some of these great men and women of God. And within their lives, you will find out many, many things. A.A. Allen himself, as he got older and stood in the tent meetings, his knees began to give out on him. And so he had a knee replacement. He didn't want to take prescription medication because it fogged his mind. So he ended up drinking again. And the very thing, the giant that he had defeated in his early life, because he gave a door back to it, came back and killed him. And he died of alcoholism. Does that make all of those people that were saved under that ministry, does that make his ministry void? No. We know that those people who received Christ as their Savior, his life still had meaning and value. But if you're not careful, the very enemies that you defeated at one point will be the very ones that come back. That's why you got to stay away. You've been delivered from alcohol, stay away from alcohol. Don't go around and buy the t-shirts that says a little bit of wine will be just fine. Stay away from things that held you in slavery. When they came out of Egypt, they needed to leave those things. They were coming out of tyranny. Christ has set you free. Do not go back and be entangled once again in that slavery. Do not allow yourself to be captivated by the things that once held you bound, because those things will come back and bite you. Another great man is Jack Coe. Jack Coe was a great man, but he was a large man. He was about 340 pounds, and he would preach and minister the gospel, standing on his feet all day, going from place to place to place to place to place. He received a prophetic word about his weight, and he refused to adapt and adjust for his benefit. You, what does the scripture say? You are the temple of God. He dwells in you, abides and lives in you. So you must take care of your temple. We don't like to hear that anymore, but that's the truth. Whatever we have to do to change the way that our life is. I'm 50-some years old. My husband just got back a report that his cholesterol was too high. The doctor looked at him and he said, you've got to lose weight and you've got to eat certain things and get rid of some things. He's having to change. If we don't face the giants in our life, those giants might hinder us from doing the will and the purpose of God. Jack Coe ended up dying at 35 because he wasn't willing to address some issues in his life. Another thing that he would do is often criticize the church and criticize God's people. When the prophetic word came to him, it was a word of, you criticize God's people and you need to control your eating habits. If not, you'll die. And he did. You say, well, I don't believe that God judges. Like, then you don't believe the scriptures. Because the word of the Lord, he deals with everything. In fact, in the New Testament, it says, if you would judge and examine yourself, you wouldn't be judged. Why? Because self-examination is important. A knowing of yourself. Now, there are people that struggle with those areas, and maybe it's medical reasons, or there's issues in their own body that prevent them from being able. Don't be condemned. But do know that if God is dealing with you, and only God is the one who can deal with you about those things personally, then receive it. Receive it from the Lord. Allow Him to move in your life. You go back into all of these great men and women of God, and I challenge you to go to God's generals and pull up some of the things on there and listen to the histories of some of the great men and women of God, and you will find on there all their stories about their life. Within them, they did great things for God. They did awesome things for God. There isn't a person in the scriptures that didn't do great things for God, that didn't have flaws. Think of David. Think of Moses. Think of Gideon. Think of Samson. Think of all these great people. They did awesome things for the Lord. And they also failed. We can learn. That's why the Bible says in the Corinthians, in the 10th chapter, that all of the things that were written in the Old Testament were written for our benefit, so that we would have knowledge and so that we would not repeat a lot of the mistakes that they made. So these areas, don't be afraid to face the areas in your life, the giants in your life, the adversaries in your life, the things in your life that are hindering you from moving into the destiny to which God has called you. Be willing to face those. In fact, my challenge to you is ask the Lord this week, Father, is there anything in my heart or in my life that is preventing me from being able to go further with you, to be a better representation of you in the earth? If there's anything in my heart, God, search my heart. I know you love me. That's not the issue. God loves us. His Son has been displayed as a testimony of His love. But is there anything in me that is preventing me from being able to move forward with God? And then let's face it and let's deal with it. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Father, we just thank you so much that you bring forth the word of the Lord in such a way that we can receive it, that we can understand it, with many examples, with many, many things in the scriptures that are written that help us. The scriptures are brought forth to us, and the revelation of those scriptures brings light and understanding and instruction. I'm so grateful for the word of the Lord, God, that brings revelation to us. And thank you for being a God that progressively wants us to be more and more like you. Thank you for telling us the truth, even sometimes when it's hard to receive it. Thank you for speaking to us, God, in a way that brings light and life. Thank you for helping us, Lord, and loving us and training us, God, and helping us to reflect your image and your likeness. Maybe there's somebody that's listening right now and you're like, God's been dealing with me about some things in my life that have kept me from being able to move. I have a call. I have a purpose. God's told me to go back to school, or God's told me to finish and get my GED, or God's told me to look for another job, or God's told me to move, or God's told me many things, and I haven't listened because I'm afraid of change. I don't want to face that. I don't want to deal with that. I'm scared. Maybe God's called you into ministry, or he's called you to open up something that God is pricking your heart about, it to start a ministry, or to step out in faith and believe him that he's got a door opened up for you. Whatever it is that God is dealing with you about, all of us can think about what God is leading us into right now at this moment. And for those who are listening on radio and online, maybe you said, yes, God called me into ministry 10 years ago and I ran away from it. When it became difficult, I left. I pray right now that the Lord would just draw you back into himself. Come back to Jesus. Come back to the author and the finisher of your faith. Come back to the one who is able to mature you and help you. Don't run away from hard things. Be willing to face hard things, because there is a great reward ahead of you. And there are many lives that are impacted by your life right now on the earth. If you were taken out of the picture, other lives would be so impacted. So let's be willing to face the truth. Let God speak to you. Hear his voice. Be willing to surrender to him. And let him change your life so that you can be here for other people. So that you can be the light of Christ to others who are in great need of that light. If you're lost and you're listening today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I pray that right now the revelation of God would come to you. Christ came so that you could know God the Father. He came to bear your sins. He came to suffer on a cross and to die so that you could be healed, so that you could be saved, so that you could be changed, and so that you could have a relationship with God. Take advantage of what God has done. He's drawing you. He's calling you. He wants all people to come to him. But only those who receive Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, only those who confess of their sin and their need for him and their repentance and their desire to serve him and love him, will see the King. I pray that you're one of them today, in Jesus' name. Father, bless your people. Give them a good week, in Jesus' name. And amen and amen.